Let me get my timer set. All right. I want to begin with a very brief reading. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and just three verses, actually, 12 through 14. Paul writes, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many." Today we're going to wrap up a series called Questions People Ask. And we've been trying to go through these questions. And today's question is really a very important one. Do you have to go to church to be a Christian? And as has been true really with all the questions, we don't really know for sure what was behind that question. But I assume that it's just simply a reflection of the discussion that's going on among Christians, especially in North America. There's definitely a growing sense that, maybe I don't really need to go to church because my faith essentially is a personal, private matter, and so church really is not important in that equation. In fact, I just read an article that was all about the duns. There's a growing number of people, and they're described now as the duns, people who are done with church. But these people would generally say they're not done with Jesus, with their faith. Thus the question, do you really have to go to church to be a Christian? Now, let me begin by saying that no one in the first century when the Bible was written would have ever asked this question. No one. It wouldn't have even made sense to anyone in the ancient world, especially ancient Palestine. In fact, it still wouldn't make any sense to anybody who lived in the Middle East that had a more Eastern mindset. Now, that doesn't mean that the question is a dumb question. It's not. It's a good question. It's very important that we understand the answer to this question. It's also very important that we understand why is it that we would ask this question, but no one in the first century would have. What's the difference? Why? How do we explain that? I think it's really, something that Christians and even those outside the faith are asking today. And I think a lot of people would suggest that many Christians have found their church experience to be less than inspiring. And also, some people have had very negative, hurtful, painful experiences with the church. And so they're saying, look, do I really have to do this part of it? Others, I think, just simply assume that the busyness of our modern day lives, it's just not practical. Given how busy we are, it's not really not practical to be a part of church, at least not on any kind of regular basis. And I think probably those responses may ring true to some of you. But I think the primary reason that we are asking this question and people in the first century were not, it really has to do with the very different way that we understand who we are as individuals. This difference to understanding how we view the individual is really vital to understanding the message of the Bible. Because all the people who wrote the Bible had a very different understanding of the individual than we do. And so we talked in the second week, we talked about the now and the not yet of the kingdom, and we talked about how that was really important lens or filter to understand when we read the Bible because it helps explain so many things. Well, this is another one of those ideas. The understanding of how we view the individual is key to unlocking the meaning of a lot of passages in the Bible. And so here it is. In our modern Western world, the individual is defined and given value by being just that, an individual. In other words, my intrinsic value is me. Just me. I'm defined by me, a unique individual that is not like any other individual in the history of the world. When God made me, he broke the mold, right? That's why when I explain who I am, I say things like, I'm Patrick. I'm a pastor. You know, I have a wife and two daughters. I like fishing. I like Alabama football. I like KU basketball. Blah, 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 right? Now, in contrast, a person in the ancient world was defined and given value by being a part of a group, a family, a tribe. In other words, the group to which he or she belonged formed that person's identity. And that's a very different way of thinking. And it's not terribly hard to understand why a person who thought like that would never have asked our question. You know, do you have to go to church? Do you have to be a part of the community to be a Christian? You know, in the people in the ancient world, if they had introduced themselves with all of their personal information, the person on the other end would have said, whoa, who cares? Who's your family? Who are your parents? You know, that's why when you read the Bible, you get all these genealogies. You know, people would have said, I'm Patrick Wildman, the son of Charlie Wildman, the son of Thomas Wildman, so forth. And it really can't be underestimated how much this impacts really how we understand the Christian faith and life and how different that is from our brothers and sisters 2,000 years ago. It's so important to keep this understanding in our minds when we read Scripture. Their assumptions and filters were very different than ours. So back to our question, do you have to go to church to be a Christian? What kind of answer does the Bible supply? Because this question really was not asked directly. But it does, I think, provide an answer. And the answer hinges upon the definition of two key terms. Church and Christian. We need to know what those two things mean. Now, I know that many of you know this, but it bears repeating that the New Testament word for church does not have anything to do with a building or an institution. Nothing. Despite that, however, most of our usages of the word church refer to buildings and institutions. And words mean things. Words are a reflection of what we really believe. You know, to most of us, church is a place where we go, a place that we attend. It's a building, and it could be anything from a great cathedral to a house to a place in a strip mall. That's church. But the Greek word that is translated church and used by Jesus, actually it's only used by Jesus once in the New Testament, and that's Matthew chapter 18. That Greek word is ekklesia, and it means a gathering of people called out from their homes into some public place, an assembly. Now, this makes perfect sense. In the context of Matthew 18, Jesus is talking about, what do you do with a brother or sister that is in sin? How do you correct that person? He says, well, you take a couple people, and if they don't listen to the couple people who are trying to correct them, then you take them, you tell it to the church, he says. Well, that makes no sense if church is a building. What are you going to do? You going to tell it to a building? No, you're telling it to a group of people. It's we know that this word, ekklesia, it's used 114 times in the New Testament. All but five times it's translated church or churches. Three times it's translated assembly, twice it's translated congregation. Never, ever, ever does it refer to a building. It has nothing to do with that. Now, the New Testament, there are several metaphors or pictures that are attached to this idea of church. One is the people of God. Another one is the family of God. Another one that Paul uses in Ephesians is the church is a holy temple. And he's not talking about a temple made with bricks, but he's talking about a temple made of people. Another metaphor is the bride of Christ. All of those things are about people, not about buildings. And another New Testament description of the church is Paul's phrase, the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Now, how did Paul come up with that? We don't really know. We know that, he was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as he wrote his words. Maybe the Holy Spirit reminded him of his conversion. In Acts chapter 9, we read about Paul, who was at the time Saul, the Pharisee, and he's on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians. And on his way, he's knocked to the ground, this bright light, and he hears a voice, a heavenly voice, saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Paul asked the obvious question, "Well, who are you, Lord? You know, who are you?" And the voice replies, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." So Paul learned from the very beginning of his faith, of his conversion, that to bring harm to Christians was to bring harm to Jesus himself. The church, the called out ones, in this phrase, the body of Christ, is saying that we are the ones who represent Christ on the earth. And so that means the very question of, do I have to go to church to be a Christian, is flawed, because church is not a place. It's not a place where we go or don't go. It's a people to whom we either belong or not. A church building where we gather like this is just that. It's a building. And no building, regardless of how magnificent, constitutes a church. Now, the early Christians, you know, it's not like they were against buildings. They met in buildings. They met in the temple. They met in people's homes. But they never thought of the buildings or any physical structure as the church. So that brings us to our second term, Christian. What does that mean? I think Paul is helpful here as well. In Romans 6, Paul describes Christians as those who are baptized into Christ Jesus. Baptized into Christ Jesus. He writes this, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." So, Christian baptism, it signifies our unity with Christ in his death. When Jesus was crucified, we were there. We were present because he bore our sins. And that means that when Jesus was raised from death, as Paul says, by the glory of the Father, that a new way, a transformed way of living became possible for all those who really put their trust in Christ. We won't experience bodily resurrection until the end, until Christ comes again. But when we are baptized into Christ, when we are unified with Him, the benefits of His resurrection become available to us now to live a new kind of life. So a Christian is one who by faith has been baptized into Christ. And our water baptism is an outward symbol of the inward reality of being baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. And Paul teaches that our baptism into Christ unites us to Him, but it also unites us to His body. So to be baptized into Christ is to also be baptized into Christ's body, the body of Christ, the church. This is what he says, what we read in 1 Corinthians 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So the whole point of Paul's teaching here is to say, look, the body of Christ is made up of many different members, different parts, like a human body. We have different parts to our bodies, but it's still one body, one unified body. So there's great diversity within the unity of the body. And in this point, it's clear that a person who has been baptized into Christ has also been baptized into Christ's body, the church. So for a Christian, being a part of the church, it's just like this. They go together. It's not an option. It's not like you say, you know, you're buying a car and you say, oh, no, I don't want that. I want that. And oh, I don't want leather seats. You know, I don't want to be a part of the church. No, that's not how it works. To be a Christian is to be baptized into Christ. And to be baptized into Christ is just by definition to be baptized into His body. So I think, hopefully, we can begin to see how the question itself, do I have to go to church to be a Christian? The question itself comes out of a misunderstanding of what these terms actually mean. Christians don't go to church. We don't go to church. We are the church. Church is not a place. Church is a people. You know, if anyone had asked this question in the first century, do I have to go to church to be a Christian? The answer would have been very quick, yes. Yes, absolutely. You can't be a Christian if you aren't part of the church. You can't have the head, you know, the head of a body by itself is really not a lot of help, is it? No, you need the whole body, right? They go together. They cannot be separated. And I can tell you, I've been vocationally in ministry now for 27 years. And that gives you the benefit of perspective, of seeing lives lived out over a long period of time. And I can say without any hesitation that the people who have become disconnected from the body of Christ are not able to sustain any kind of vital relationship with Christ Himself. No exceptions. No exceptions. It simply doesn't work. It does not work. If you claim the label Christian, a follower of Christ, and you don't want to be a part of the church, you need to know that's a problem. That's a problem. And it's an inconsistency that will not be reconcilable over time. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there are issues for some people. You may have something from your past that is very hurtful. And I don't want to minimize that. I mean, those things are real. Some people have had very harmful experiences in the church, and I know people like that. And in those cases, it's very understandable that church is a bit scary. That does not change the fact that it's essential. Now, the encouraging news is that when we come to Christ, you know, he pours his grace and forgiveness and love into our lives, and that has a transformative effect. As we receive, then we can also give. And I've witnessed many people, who have been able to forgive and move beyond the hurt of their past. And the Lord knows how important this is. He knows how important this is to our spiritual well-being. And so, if a person has been hurt by the church, I truly believe that you can count on the Lord to give you the grace to get past that and to be a part of his body. Do you have to go to church to be a Christian? I guess I'd answer it this way. To be a Christian is to be a part of the church. And trying to drive a wedge between the two is a misunderstanding of what they actually mean. But you know what? Just simply like stating that as a rule, who cares? I mean, that's how a lot of people are going to answer that. They're going to go, well, so what? So what? It's really not the heart of the matter. Because saying, well, yeah, you do have to go to, you know, that's not very inspiring. Like, okay, great. Another duty. And that's not really it. You know, on the one hand, you need to just consider. Think about what it's really saying. The duns. You know, I'm done with the church. On the more negative side, you just have to call it out and say, you know, that's a pretty inflated idea of yourself. To think, you know, you can just do this all by yourself. I don't think any of us are that strong. But on the much more positive side, you know, the real heart of this issue is about mission. It's about what God has called us, his body, to do. You know, the reason why following Jesus means that we are incorporated into a body, joined together into a community, the real reason for that is mission. It's for the sake of the world. And as I mentioned, you know, we are all members. We are all given gifts by the Spirit. And why? Just because? No. Paul says it's so we can build up the body. You know, I can't help but think that Paul chose this metaphor of church as a body. He chose this for a very particular reason. And I think it has to do with Jesus accomplishing through his body the renewal of all things, of bringing a kingdom that makes the world and human life as it should be. I mean, think about it. What better image for the corporate life of God's people than a human body? A body that has limbs and organs that work together in harmony. You know, a body that flourishes in its diversity. A body that gives the world a picture of human life as it was meant to be lived. You know, the task that Jesus has given us, his body, is massive. It encompasses the entire world. And if we're going to do it, we need everyone. We need every toe. We need every arm. We need every eye. You know, we need everyone. And only with everyone are we going to have a sum that is greater than the individual parts. You know, God didn't join us together to create a new rule. You have to go to church. He joined us together as a body so that together we can help advance the good news. The good news that Jesus is Lord, that even though we are sinners, Christ died for us, and that he has given us a kingdom that cannot be shaken.